A Truth of Its Own. Phonoplay by Alberto Cortez Navarrete, Glauco Nayue, and Fabian May. This is Radio Berlin International. Midnight. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2020. Here's what happened. German Parliament has agreed upon further measures to fight the ongoing COVID pandemic. The bill passed yesterday by the Bundestag states an epidemic emergency of national scale. It will give German Health Minister Jens Spahn far-reaching authority in matters previously up to the federal states, for example to decree new lockdown regulations. Currently, many businesses and large parts of public life in Germany, like bars and restaurants, swimming pools or barbershops, remain closed. Supermarkets stay open. However, German Minister of Food and Agriculture Julia Klöckner is asking people to abstain from panic buying. Food supply is secure, she said yesterday. Up to this point, Germany doesn't see overcrowded hospitals in dimensions like Italy or Spain. However, the number of confirmed COVID infections is skyrocketing here too. The German Center for Disease Control, Robert Koch Institut, last reported an additional 5,000 cases within 24 hours. German medical societies have issued a paper preparing doctors to make decisions on who to treat, in case hospital resources should not be enough to treat everyone anymore. German Chancellor Angela Merkel had appealed to the citizens on Thursday to stay patient. The lockdown put into place last weekend would probably last a while. The measures could be suspended only when effects are seen. And here's more COVID headlines from around the world. Public hospitals in New York City are nearing their limits of capacity, according to Mayor Andrew Cuomo. China closes its borders to foreigners. Afghan government orders the release of up to 10,000 prisoners, among them female, young, old and vulnerable inmates, to slow down COVID infections. EU member state leaders are calling for a coordinated global response to the COVID crisis, both medically and economically. In other news, the suspect of the mosque shootings last year in Christchurch, Australia, surprisingly pleaded guilty. The accused is awaiting trial for murdering 51 people and attempting to murder 40 more. The gunman Brandon Tarrant, who openly calls himself a racist, had formally pleaded not guilty. The trial is scheduled to start in June. It is Friday, March 27th, 2020, 3 minutes past midnight. Next up is Night Studio, our weekly call-in show with Alonso.
Hi, you are listening to Night Studio, the most truthful show in all English-speaking Germany. I'm Alonso, and I'm very happy that you're still with me. Let's not take this for granted in the midst of this raging pandemic. I know, some people say it's no more than a flu, but don't listen to them. Look at the pictures from the rest of us. It's really out there. So, even if it's hard, stay home. Stay safe. If you care about someone, don't visit them. Give them a call. If you can't think of anyone to call, or you don't want to wake them up, then call me. I can't sleep anyway. This week, the World Health Organization started talking about a full-blown pandemic. Everything's on lockdown. It feels strange coming to the studio with almost no one here but me. My colleagues work from home if it is possible for them. For a moment, I even considered not going on the air this week. But then I thought, when so many familiar things can take place, it's particularly important that some things stay just as they are. Me here, you on your devices. Let's stay connected this way. Knock on wood, and hopefully soon this shadow will pass. And we have our first caller tonight. Hi, Christian.
Hello, Alonso.
What's your story?
I have a confession to make.
Please, confess away.
I must admit, I didn't take this virus situation very seriously at first, and neither did my employer. So, right before the big lockdown, I was still on this business trip. And I should add that I'm married.
Oh, I have an idea where this might be going.
Yes, you're a good judge of character.
Perhaps of human nature would be better.
Well, on the tram to the convention, I noticed this woman with a suitcase. She looked like she was headed there too, but many people were. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we were two compatriots in a strange land, so there wasn't any reason to start a conversation. But still, I caught myself looking at her again and again as she stood there staring out the window. She was wearing this pinkish face mask, and come to think of it, these things look kind of obscene, like face panties. And instinctively, you want to know what they look like underneath, don't you?
Well, thanks for that graphic description. I've never thought about face masks like that.
Really? They never made you wonder what's underneath?
Well, there are different ways to deal with what you don't see. But tell me, how old are you?
31.
Ah, there you go. You're still in your prime. You're supposed to want to rip them off.
Anyway, I'm trying to get my thoughts under control when suddenly she stares back at me.
Stares back? How?
Like, buzz off, look your own way. And so I did. We got out through the same door when the tram stopped, but there was no interaction. And at the station, we went our separate ways.
Staring isn't polite, but it's not a scene in my book.
Yeah, but it doesn't end there. That night, I saw her again in my hotel. She was standing at the bar, and I couldn't resist. I had to go to her and see for myself.
See what?
What she looked like underneath her face mask.
Ah, and did you like what you saw?
Very much. Too much. Do I need to spell out the rest?
Only if you want to.
You know how it goes. 3 drinks later, we were suddenly in her hotel room and our face masks were scattered on the floor along with the rest.
Now I see where you could find a scene.
Wait for it.
Oh, so there's more.
I'm not proud of it. Well, I don't regret it either. We used protection, so it could have been an adventure without any consequences. But we've exchanged phone numbers and we kept texting. Only harmless stuff. But today, I got a text saying that she's tested positive.
For the virus?
Yes.
How long ago was your adventure?
A week.
So you might be infected too?
I don't know. I haven't found the courage to take a test.
You most definitely should.
Yes, you're right. I'll do it right after the weekend.
Good.
In the meantime, I'm in big trouble because of my wife.
So you told her?
No, I almost make something up, like someone sneezed in my direction or something.
But you did not. Is that maybe because you know you should tell her the truth?
But I can't.
Why not?
I'm too afraid of what might happen. Infidelity would be a total deal breaker for her.
Well, of course, that's how everyone talks about that kind of thing. We also know people make mistakes. How long have you two been together?
We've known each other for 8 years now.
So you must have a stable basis of trust.
She really makes no compromises when it comes to those things. And I've heard her talking about this affair of other people many of times. But there's the really nasty thing. She's going to visit her parents tomorrow. They are old. They are high-risk patients.
So your test alone would not be enough. You need to tell her on the double. Lives could be at stake.
But how can I get myself to do it?
Christian, if you don't mind my asking, are you drunk?
No. Well, maybe a little.
From the way you're shouting into the phone, I guess you're not home.
No.
So where are you?
I'm in some bar.
You're talking over a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. First thing I'd like you to do, I want you to get out of that bar. We can continue our conversation, but I want you to get out of there.
But there's almost no one here, and I've got no place to go right now.
Christian, I'm a little disappointed.
Why, Alonso? I'm being honest with you.
You're being half honest, which means you're not being honest at all. You don't seem to take your situation very seriously.
Yes, I do. I do.
I hope at least you are wearing your face mask.
In this place, they don't ask you to wear it and... Shit. I'm sorry, Alonso. I'm so sorry about it all. Am I a bad person? I always thought I could do better, but what if it turns out I cannot?
No, you're not a bad person, Christian.
I really want to do better, but how?
Will you please get out of this bar first?
Okay, I'm waving to the waiter right now. Entschuldigung, zahlen bitte.
Okay, Christian. You have a responsibility to your wife, to her parents, and to all the other elderly and vulnerable out there. You need to get over yourself and take it seriously.
But how can I tell her in a way so she doesn't leave me? I love her. She's the most important person in my life.
Let's do a little thought experiment. How would you feel if you'd already told her?
What are you saying?
Just imagine for a second she'd been listening those past minutes.
No, she doesn't listen to this kind of things.
Well, maybe. But we could have called her. She could be on the other line, just a button away on the console in my studio.
What? What are you saying?
You can't be entirely sure she isn't listening now, can you?
She couldn't be. Is she?
If she were, she might even be glad that you tell her, and you take a test together tomorrow?
Tell me, Alonso, are you playing games? Alonso, please! Ja, und der Rest ist Trinkgeld. Ja, wirklich.
Tell me, how are you feeling right now, Christian?
It's strange.
What is?
I feel almost good. Light. Weightless.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Now that she's heard me say it, Bettina, I'm so glad I said it and you heard me. I love you. And I'm so sorry about everything. You deserve to know the truth.
Christian?
Yes?
We don't actually know whether she's listening to the show.
She's not on the other line?
I'll check with my editor, Sabine. No, she isn't. But for all we know, she could be one of our listeners. I guess she's home alone.
So I'm back to square one.
So I don't think so. It is already out there, you know. You said it. You only need to revisit it.
I still don't think I can. It all sounds doable when you say it. But I'm afraid that as soon as I've hung up, all my courage will be gone. I'm so scared that she could take it the wrong way.
You said you love your wife.
I do.
I'm sure she feels that. Never underestimate love. Never underestimate women, for that matter.
You're right.
Listen, I don't know your wife, but people make mistakes, Christian. Worse mistakes than you made, all the time. If she loves you, and you sound to me like a generally decent, lovable guy, you will find a way. If not, you've got a whole different problem.
Thank you, Alonso. You make it sound like there might actually be a way out of this mess.
Yeah, there is. You said it yourself. She deserves the truth. I believe you that you love her. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so desperate. Believe me, I can hear the difference. Now, I trust you that you'll go to her and make it real. Our listeners out there believe in you too. We want you to make it right. So take a taxi and go to her. Go back to where you belong, will ya?
Okay, Alonso, I'll do it. Thank you.
And say hello to your wife. Tell her I want you two to get this right again.
Thank you, Alonso. I'm calling a cab right now. I'm hanging up. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Christian. I wish you two luck. Some things are never easy. Telling someone you love that you went behind their backs? But if all these years of listening to you all have taught me something about people, it's that they can forgive. And that everybody deserves a second chance. Just like in that song, I'm sure you know it. Here we go.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
And we have another caller. There's no name on my screen, but someone is online too. Hello, anonymous caller.
Hello, Alonso.
Oh. Are you all right?
Eat nothing, or so I hope.
What's on your mind, caller?
I've been listening to your show for some years now. I think generally you're doing a good job.
Thank you. It feels good that my work is appreciated.
If only you care more about the truth.
But I do.
No, you don't.
Wait, what do you mean?
Every week you listen to all those people and you make them feel welcome with everything they have to say. You make them believe that you're interested in everything and everyone.
That's because I am. Why else would I be sitting here week after week for... Man, how long has it been?
18 years next month.
18 years? Feels more like 18 months. Wow, you're well informed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
See? There it is again. All this politeness, all this ostentatious demonstration of transparency, this habit of saying, my editors have been just telling me, I said you have created an illusion of truthfulness, when really, you don't care.
I'm not sure what point you're trying to make.
All this time, 18 years, you've been sitting there accepting everything people tell you as true.
Well, I start off by listening to what's true to them. Trusting people is the most important thing in doing this. How else could we have a meaningful exchange?
You could really get to the truth, or try at least.
I think I do, in the end.
No, you don't. Take Christian just now.
I actively told him he should tell his wife the truth.
He's obviously capable of lying in his favor, by his own account. And with good reason. He's in doubt whether he's the person he wants to be. You listen to him. You comfort him. You tell him everything is gonna be alright. But how do you know all this?
Well, I just do. After years of listening and talking to people.
But they only tell you stories. They are just that. Stories. A show. And you take them at face value.
There's more to it than that.
It's a cozy rip-off of the truth. Christian might as well continue doing things the same way, but now feeling validated by you and by having confessed to you. You are deluded, and you are deluding people.
You are being cynical. It's about trust. It's about believing in people.
Ah, so you are a believer.
Yes.
That's the problem. You believe too much. You are being misled, and you are misleading people. You are abusing your responsibility, the trust people put in you, by being too trusting.
So you're calling to say that I'm not for real and can't be trusted?
Among other things.
If you're trying to hurt me, you won't. But if you're trying to help, I take criticism like this very seriously.
It's not criticism. It's the truth.
Truth is always critical. Criticism can be good or bad. But the truth is...
Now you are just debating technicalities. That has nothing to do with the truth.
So you know the truth, but I don't?
Yes, I know it because I care about it more than you do.
Well? Listen, I wouldn't want to get mad at you. I also don't want to prove you wrong. So you care about the truth. That's good. I don't want to take it away from you.
And you couldn't.
But you're like a truth fanatic.
I guess you could say that.
Let me ask you. If you think I'm not for real, why do you listen to my show?
I'm interested in people.
I don't believe you.
That's a silly game, Alonso.
You're right. What are you interested in about people?
Behavior, belief systems, forms.
You like to analyze them.
Well, you don't.
Well, you make it sound a little methodical and calculating. I wouldn't subscribe to that.
You might care about people more than I do, but you let it cloud your judgment. You seem to believe everything you are told.
Let's make it a little more concrete. Say you are on this side of the mic and someone tells you a story. And you have to react now. There is no looking up things, no getting back to them later, nothing. What do you do? What is your first step?
Finding out the truth, or a reasonably close approximation, by asking an absurd amount of questions, even with redundancy.
But who would want to listen to that show?
Everyone, because it gives you the truth. Eventually.
I don't think so. Who would call your show when they'd expect to be stripped naked on the air? I think there's a hole in your theory. You're suggesting a culture of mistrust. No one wants that.
For argument's sake, let's see only a few who listen to a broadcast of The Naked Truth and the many who prefer all the other shows. But that's the thing. A show's a show. It is not supposed to be about truth. But you parade yours as if it were about truth. That's bullshit. Your own show as any other. But worse, you are dishonest about it.
I think you are disingenuously misrepresenting shows and stories as if they were lies and deception. They are not the same. But let's get back on track. You're saying I should be more inquisitive.
Yes, Alonso.
Like I said, I want to take this seriously. So... let's take this to a satisfactory end.
Yeah!
So let's play your truth game.
It's not a game.
Alright, let's play it seriously. What's your story about the truth? What makes you say that it's so serious? What made you be a truth fanatic? Don't you dare lie to me, because I'll know.
I got this ringing in my ears.
Like an ear noise?
Yes, tinnitus, I guess. And it keeps coming when I listen to somebody who isn't for real.
Have you seen a doctor about this?
There's nothing wrong with my ears.
So, you hear the ringing, but how do you know that someone isn't for real?
Same way as you, basically. After listening for a long time, I just know.
Since when do you have this?
I've had it for some years now. It started when I had a place of my own for the first time. It was around the same time I started listening to your show.
Do you live alone?
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Generally, I'm happy alone. Other people can get intense.
Yeah, life can get intense. Everybody has their comfort level of liveliness.
Yes.
An ear noise is often associated with stress.
That's the thing. I get it at night when the daily hustle and bustle ebbs away.
And how does it happen?
It's quiet. Uninvited thoughts start popping up in my head.
What kind of thoughts?
You know, the news, US politics, hate crimes, the virus.
That's terrible, isn't it?
I don't believe in drinking. So at some point I turned the radio on to drown those thoughts. And I listen to you and to all the people because I'm interested in people from afar. But then I hear this ringing.
So you get it from my show?
For instance, a guy calls you telling you he's suicidal. He's not. He just wants the attention. You know that. And I know you know that. But you trick him into believing he has duped you. Then you convince him not to commit suicide. Everybody wins. He gets the attention, you too, and also the sympathy from your audience. No one is harmed. And yet, Mia has spoken the truth, which is simple, really. The kick of that attention alleviates for a moment the fear of no one caring. Each time I listen to your show, and each time, the ringing. Sorry about that.
No, I'm sorry. But still you keep listening?
I want to understand what moves people. I want to know why you do this.
Wow. You're a real truth seeker.
I thought a lot about calling you and confronting you.
Well, you did, and I'm glad. I think we got somewhere.
Did we?
I think so.
At first, I meant to tell you a story. You see, it is not true that I reject stories outright.
Great! I love stories.
And I'll not say whether it's true or not, and you'll be supposed to speculate on that. But that's a stupid idea.
No! Stories are where the life is. Why don't you tell me your story?
I didn't say it was my story.
All the same, you'll be the one telling it.
Do you really want to hear it?
Yes, I live for stories, and from them.
Well, right then. It's a story about a story. So, I have no recollection of my father. He vanished from my life before I could know him. Some years later, when I was a boy of 10, this story circulated in my hometown. A man believes he has learned through some obscure channels, the exact date and time of his death.
That's some heavy stuff. But where should he get that kind of information?
Hell if I know. Maybe he belongs to some cult, or he took part in spiritual seances, or he paid some santeros for it. So, this guy is fit as a fiddle, 30-something. Mm-hmm. On the estimated weekend, his wife takes the children to her grandparents. So he's alone when it's supposed to happen. He's sitting at his desk with a view into the empty driveway. And he writes a note explaining to his wife and to his children what he thinks will happen. He expresses his regret that he won't see them grow up, that he can't do any more for them. Everything that made up his life and himself as a person, he puts into that last letter. And when his family comes home Sunday night, they find him dead at his desk. The police is unable to determine a cause of death and sees no evidence of foul play.
And?
That's it.
That's your story? Feels incomplete.
Yeah.
Feels vaguely familiar. As if I already heard it somewhere.
Possible.
You know, it sounds like one of these, what are they called? Black stories.
They are called situation puzzles, or yes and no puzzles. But I don't want to discuss the situation. I want you to think about it.
But I don't get it. You said in the beginning you don't recall anything about your father.
I wasn't talking about my father.
Yes, you were.
Are you doubting my word? I said nothing about my father. I don't know a thing about him.
Okay, so you didn't.
I also said I wouldn't tell you whether this story is true or not.
But what is it about for you?
I am not the great judge of human nature here. Should you be the expert on that, Alonso?
I find it hard to say. I think something is missing. Some essential element to explain that untimely death. The prophecy sure as hell can't be true. But there are inexplicable things in the world. It could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Something that creates a truth of its own.
That's good. I like that.
Before we continue, I'd like to know one more thing from you, though, my anonymous caller.
What's that?
Would you tell me your name? I'd really like to know who made me think so hard tonight.
I'm not telling you my name.
Well, of course you have every right to remain anonymous, even though I don't think it's quite fair.
You can call me Roberto. Goodbye, Alonso.
Roberto. Roberto? Well, I was hoping we would get further than that. Some people feel uncomfortable being out in the open. I guess that is why anonymity is so cherished in our society. But look here, Sabine tells me we have a new caller, name and all. Hello, Dr. Adam Hausner, is it? Can I call you Adam?
I wasn't going to call. I thought about it for days. I was not going to, but you're right. Truth is more important.
You sound a little agitated.
Sorry, no longer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I wanted to tell you. The study you talked about a month ago, I've done it. First, I made a whole new color. Made it. Do you understand?
Not quite, friend. I'm afraid we need some solid ground to begin with. You know, tell us more about you. What do you do? What is this study we're talking about?
I'm a physicist, though that is not relevant. I must tell you. So, remember the study from Robertson and others? The one that proves Himba people cannot tell a color out of a group?
The one about the color blue not existing in antiquity?
Aha! But you only need a word to make it. That is all. No trick to it. No magic. Well, it seems like it is magic, but it is just a word. Amazing things this. Small enough to be cast in one breath, great enough to contain a whole world.
Wait, but to make what exactly?
A color! A color! I've been telling you that I have made a color.
Say, you keep saying that, but what does that mean, make a color?
Well, let me breathe. Okay. You spoke about the study of the color blue, but you got it all wrong.
Okay. What do you mean wrong?
You only read an article about a study, not the study itself. Divulgation. Everything is almost right, but because of that, it is all wrong. You know why it is called divulgation of sciences, right?
Well, Adam, I imagine that because it spreads knowledge of science among everyone.
No. It is because it makes science vulgar. It smudges it, turns it into a filthy thing.
I don't think that is the definition.
You said the study proves modern men discovered the color blue once they had a word for it. And that before the concept they could not see it because they didn't have a name.
Granted, it is a little far-fetched maybe, but...
You even implied that bullshit about the Aztecs not being able to see the Spanish ships because they did not have that notion of sea travel.
True, I imply that.
Well, I'm telling you, that is altogether wrong. You wanted the truth. That's one for you.
I'm listening.
What the study proves is not that blue was already out there undetected, but rather that the word blue forced people to pay enough attention to make it out of the existing hues. A color that never existed before.
Sorry, I fail to see the difference.
They did not discover blue. They made it. The world was different before. The name, the word, opened up a space for blue to appear.
Opened up a space? That sounds unlikely. I mean, how did people originally agree on what blue should look like?
Yes, exactly. I thought the same thing.
By this reckoning, if only these people invented not one, but two words, we would have now one extra primary color, wouldn't we?
Yes, yes! This is what I've been trying to tell you all along. Words, they're the most powerful form of art.
Huh. So, you were saying you thought the same thing.
They must be wrong, I thought. The study does not make any sense. I came up with the idea to prove it wrong. So I figured, why not invent another color? Delph.
Delph?
Yes. And mind the letters. Elegant, small, coupled smoothly with her sisters, blue, red, yellow. Delph. The perfect word for a color that did not exist before. At first, it was just a dumb game. I started thinking about it, saying it now and again, as if it were a natural part of any color list. You know, if I was shopping, I would amuse myself thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a Delph shirt? Oh, my type of girl is tan-skinned with deep Delph eyes, and so on. But with time, it became attached to my mind.
Like an obsession.
If you want to call it that, all I could think of, all I had constantly was this scorching desire to know, what is it like? Why can't I see it? How does Delph look like? How? Is it discreet like Bish? Or presumptuous like purple? A bit risky maybe. Peach-like or fresh, aggressive as pure red? Does it combine nicely with a carpet lined with the image of an exotic bird? How could I know any of this before looking at it? I began wondering more serious questions too. What if the difference between the poisonous mushroom and its identical but innocuous twin was a now unseen pattern of Delph lines? What science of astral phenomena are we missing just because it all seems the same to us? A blunt pitch black where the bright Delph can mingle.
Intriguing indeed, Adam. And where does this obsession lead you?
I made it. I finally made it. I dreamt it once. A feverish, bubbling dream it was. Full of hot liquid sounds and dancing shapes with no rhyme or reason. And then a light. A bright, Delph light. Beautiful. Since I woke up, I made it. And now it is a part of the world. There's no going back. The world has changed. I named it, you see? So obvious that it is everywhere, mixed or clear or opaque, a lot of combined. But if I point it out, people laugh at me. They don't pay attention. I invented a brand new color for everyone, and no one seems to care.
No. Okay, calm down. It is understandable, don't you think? This is very unusual, Adam. Why don't you try to describe it a little, maybe?
Describe it? Are you listening to yourself? How could one describe a color? I tell you, words are marvelous little things. You just need to use this word. But really use it. Name it with your whole mind. And you will see my new color.
I can see it. That's a metaphor, you know?
I'm not the metaphor. Doesn't matter. That is beside the point.
Okay, what is the point?
That words can open up a place for anything, and I have seen it.
Wait, okay, so you say that if I look at my microphone, or, I don't know, the wall, and I say the word Delph, then...
Delph, be careful. You don't know which things you could be conjuring up. This is no game.
Okay, sorry, but I am bound to be honest. I find it way more likely that you have not so much invented a color for everyone, but rather for yourself alone. And that is not necessarily a bad thing. Right, Adam?
Do not patronize me.
What I mean to say is, would it be so bad if no one else shared this vision of yours? Why force it on others?
Color that only one man sees is useless. I will still need to live as a colorblind dork like everyone else.
Well, it's hard to convince others of something like this. You could take other approach, maybe. Painting might bring something interesting up, for instance.
It is not for me, though. You know what? Forget it. I didn't want to discuss it anyway.
What do you mean?
I thought you might, but you're not ready. You're not ready to know what I meant after the colored elf. That was what I wanted to tell you about. That's a real shame. Maybe Roberto was right after all.
What do you mean after... Adam? Adam, hello? Oh, not even halfway through tonight's show, but already feeling kind of dizzy. Well, life never stops happening, and we have to deal with it. I guess Roberto is right about something. Life can be a situational puzzle sometimes. But enough of that, let's clear our heads with some nice and colorful music, and anyone can imagine the colors they want. How about that? Nothing like dipping one's toes in the memories of some nice classics. And what do you know? Our next caller is a little bit of a deja vu himself. Hi.
Hey, Alonso. Do you already know who I am?
Sure. You're the man who called himself Roberto earlier.
The one who told you can call him Roberto, to be exact.
Fine. My editor Sabina tells me you wanted to add something important to your story.
You know, I had to lie to your editor in order to get on the air again. As I said before, I don't want to discuss that story. It's something for you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there is a thing by the name of Delft Blue. With a thing. It's a kind of blue porcelain from Delft in the Netherlands.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I figured. seems like there's a lot you don't know. As you pointed out, Blue is tricky.
Adam will not be pleased.
Well, speaking to the truth is not always pleasant.
Yes, of course. Since you are the truth man, can I ask you something?
I'd rather you call me Roberto.
Okay, Roberto. Do I know you from somewhere?
What makes you ask that?
There's something vaguely familiar about you. Maybe it's your accent. Where are you from?
Mexico.
I knew it. Whereabouts?
I am from Mexico City.
Who'd have thunk? Me too. That also explains why your story sounded so familiar. I must have heard it back home sometime. Hey, can I ask you another thing, Roberto, from Mexico City? There was this prison across from where I lived, the Our Lady of Guadalupe Center. From my window, I could almost see the prisoners in the courtyard, and it was very old, and they were always talking about closing it down, but somehow it never happened.
You haven't been home in a very long time, have you?
No, I haven't. So, is it still there?
They turned it into a shopping mall.
A mall?
Yes. So now window shopping and eating churros with their grandchildren where they once did time.
Oh, that must feel strange. It's nice to talk to someone from home.
When did you leave Mexico City?
I think it was in 2001. Yeah, must have been. The news about 9/11 hit me on a trip through Europe.
I always wondered, what you were up to before you came here?
Not much. Some studying at home.
Where?
UNAM. You know, National Autonomous University of Mexico. Then I did some traveling in Europe and Asia. Some jobs too. And I ended up here when they were starting to build up this station. It was real pirate radio back then.
What did you study?
I changed major several times. I don't even remember which one was first, but mainly nightlife and dormitories, if you know what I mean. And a little business, but mainly nightlife and dormitories.
That sounds fun.
It was.
Then why did you leave?
At some point, there was nothing there for me anymore, you know. I needed a change of scenery.
Don't you have family?
No. My brother was my family, but he died when I was a student.
I see.
Why did you leave?
I came here with my mother when I was little.
You're a really curious guy, Roberto.
I don't mean to pry. Only, I've been listening to your show for so long now, and I never hear you talk much about yourself.
Why would I, unless you ask me? This show is about you.
As you pointed out before, it doesn't feel quite fair. It feels like an imbalance.
An imbalance?
Of power.
So, do you know that she's about power?
No, but... Well, isn't it?
That's one way to look at it.
At the end of the day, you learn a lot about people, or so you think. But we have learned about you only what we can extract from your reactions.
Well, that's who a person is, after all. That's who I am.
I'm sure there is more.
Fair enough. What else do you want to know?
Would you call yourself vain?
Because I'm hosting a radio show?
In general?
No. I enjoy helping and learning about people. Rather a medium than the center of attention, you know? I like being in the middle of things. But you don't, do you?
No. I find that too intense. So you're not the kind of person who Googles themselves?
No, never. And I'm not starting now.
Maybe you should.
Why? Is there something you'd like to tell me?
Nothing in particular.
Wait a second. My editor Sabine is trying to tell me something. Never mind, that is nothing. To be frank, I don't like the internet.
Why is that?
Well, it often prevents us from directly talking to each other, you know. It was a utopia once, but it isn't anymore.
But it still empowers a lot of people. It brings them information at a very low price. You can't be against free information, are you?
Are you sure you're all right? Are you sick?
Don't worry. The citizens aren't spread via phone or radio. Other things can be, though.
Roberto, this may come a little unexpected, but how old are you? Alone again. Wow, that's frustrating. It's difficult to have a meaningful exchange like that. Sorry, Roberto. I had to get this out of my system before taking the next caller. I don't want my anger to get the better of me.
They're talking about you, boy.
You are listening to Night Studio, the most truthful... Oh well, never mind about that. And now we have a new caller on the line. Hey!
Hey, Alonso.
It's your call.
I'm calling about the pandemic.
So, what about it?
Well, in fact, it's more about my reaction to it, or non-reaction.
You've sparked my interest. But what is your reaction?
See, there's the crunch. I don't feel a thing when I should feel sorry. I guess you've seen the pictures from Italy and elsewhere?
Yes, of course.
People are dying. Mm-hmm. People are drowning in their ICU beds in our very city.
Yes. Yes, it's sad, but it's true.
And I'm a doctor.
Oh, so you see a lot of the pandemic.
Yes. I've just finished my shift. I should be feeling something, don't you think?
Well, it's hard to wrap your head around a completely new situation like this. I think there's a whole range of healthy reactions to it. Not feeling anything might be one of them. Have you been feeling perhaps depressed lately?
No. I'm still the cheerful person I've always been.
Yeah, I can hear that in your voice, you know.
But commiserating with people, apart from work, I've been watching all these documentaries lately, you know, about psychopaths, criminally insane, in business life, in families. And suddenly I thought, maybe I could kill someone and not feel a thing, just like some of these guys.
But you are not thinking about killing anyone on your operating table or anywhere, are you?
No, I'm just giving an extreme example to make my point.
Whoa, well, point made.
Look, I've noticed this weird interest in me to understand how these people think and do what they do.
I find nothing weird about that. I like to understand people too. Believe me, I've had my share of conversations with real psychopaths. And I don't think you're one of them.
But you don't know what's going on in my head.
Well, tell me what's going on.
I feel no sympathy towards those victims I see in these documentaries or in the news. I hear what they lived through before they died, and I'm not shocked. Or at work, total absence of appropriate emotional responses.
So you're a rational thinker. But that doesn't make you a dangerous person.
So, do you think I worry too much?
You should not scrutinize yourself so hard. I mean, everything looks strange under a microscope, don't you think?
Is that so? So, do you think this might be another one of those self-fulfilling prophecies?
Very much so. Have you been listening before?
Yes, I've heard you talk to Roberto, if that's what you mean. He seems a little psycho, by the way.
Well.
Still thinking about this thing he said, though. About things being transmitted over the air. I know it sounds weird and unscientific, but have I been infected by these people? Have they activated something evil I've had in myself all along?
Evil? Do you have evil thoughts?
No, not yet at any rate. But you know how an idea can grow in your head. Have you read Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment?
Can't say that I have, no.
Well, it's only literature. But literature ultimately comes from life. It's the story of a poor student who becomes a murderer for no good reason. It's creepy how thoughts have a way of leaping from one person to another and how they can't keep them under control until something bad happens.
Hey, are you sure this is a real problem? Or are you making one?
No, Alonso, I'm dead serious about this.
I have this strange feeling, you know, like you might be pulling my leg.
Of course not. Why would I waste your time like that?
I don't know. You don't happen to know this Roberto, do you?
No, I don't. What makes you think that?
I... I don't know. Sorry, I'm a little out of sorts.
What's the matter with you?
Let that be my problem. Let's get back on track. We wanted to discuss your problem.
Sure.
So, you're afraid you could have been infected with something bad over the air?
Yes. See, some weeks ago I talked to this really old guy I met donating blood.
Wait. You went to donate blood?
That's what I said.
So, here's a hole in your account.
A hole?
Yeah. If you were truly afraid you might be a psychopath, why would you go and give your own blood for people in need?
Well? There are 100 reasons to do this. Maybe your neighbor has asked you to come along. Or you want to impress someone you're secretly in love with. Or you simply know, in an abstract way, being a doctor, that blood is needed badly, especially during the pandemic. And that it's generally considered ethical to donate blood.
Exactly.
Exactly what?
Being a doctor. Having taken an oath. Tell me, was it the first time you donated blood?
No.
And when was the first time?
I feel you are checking my story for consistency.
No, of course not.
Don't you believe me?
No. I mean, yes.
Then what's the matter with you? Wow. A second ago, I was angry at you that you were so distrusting. But now I know what's up with you. It's this Roberto. He has gotten into your head. Don't mind him, Alonso. He's just some frustrated incel loser sitting in his flat, his mummified mother on the chair opposite his, surrounded by shelves of conspiracy literature. Don't let him win.
Wait a second. Sabina tells me that Roberto is on the other line again. Would you mind holding the line for a while? I want to finish what I've started.
Okay, sure, Alonso. Don't let him get to you.
It's Roberto. Hello again. Are you all right?
Don't worry, Sebastian. Nothing serious.
Get well soon.
Thank you.
I see you're calling from a cell number this time. Are you going someplace?
Alonso, don't you believe in the earth?
In what?
Reincarnation.
Weird question.
Well, do you? I'm sure you have given it some time.
I can't say that I haven't. As a matter of fact, I do.
What does that mean?
Well, I believe that nothing and no one stays the same, even in one life. I think people are never quite the same after, say, 20 years. How could they, after so much life's happened to them? You are young, but you'll see what I mean when you are past 35.
So you can't hold people responsible for what they've done in the past?
Not really. What are you getting at?
Nothing in particular. Why do you ask?
You have to keep an open mind about people. Allow them to change.
You don't believe in judgment?
No.
Or things like prison?
Not in life sentences, I don't. I think feeling guilty all your life is the real prison. You can take many people who call here. I try to console them so that they can be better.
But in your logic, you can never know whether someone has really changed.
You can only believe that they can. Why are you suddenly so interested in crime and punishment?
I've always found crime and social deviance very interesting. How people deal with it. It shows what they are made of.
Yes. In a way, we're pretty much alike, aren't we?
I see why you say this. Because you want it too. But I feel we're pretty different.
True. But everyone is capable of anything. Good or bad. But there is this one thing I can't believe.
What's that?
If we were all made from the same soup, or all soul, why would we be the same pieces in every life? I think if you and I get reborn, there might be a little piece of you in me, and a little of me in you, and of all others, all mixed up. That's much more realistic, I think. And that's what this work here, talking to people, teaches me.
That way, we are all the same.
Yes.
There is no identity.
No.
I can't accept that.
Fine, be that way. What about you, anyway?
What about me?
Well, do you believe in reincarnation?
I think it's a fairy tale to make you feel better about the big nothingness before and after our lives.
That's a bleak outlook.
Not bleaker than your no one is responsible idea. If you think it through, nothing really matters anymore. Not even death, murder, genocide. You will be reborn anyway, and maybe the roles will be reversed. Or they already were for 1,000 times, and this may be your revenge without your knowledge. It's bottomless and quite scary.
But why scary? Isn't that justice in the long run?
It's scary because it never ends. You can never get rid of yourself, even if you want to end it all. It's like an illness you can't cure, because it lives in all things. That's not justice, it's a life sentence, but for all eternity throughout many lives.
Well, you can't stop life from happening.
Yes, I think I can. At least, I did.
Roberto, now you're scaring me.
Why?
You are not thinking about ending things, are you? Or are you?
What will it matter to you? If we're all the same, am I even real? Does this life make a difference?
Wait, you are not at the radio station, are you? Roberto? Roberto, are you still there?
Of course.
Hello? Hello? I'm losing you, I think. Where are you?
I'm not telling.
Can you at least go somewhere with better cell reception so we can keep talking?
Keep talking if you want, but you can't change a thing anyway. I know about you. You're not for real. Nothing is.
Roberto...
And stop saying this name every 5 seconds! It's not yours!
No! It was my brother's! And you've got no idea what you're talking about! Hello? Are you still there? Answer me, Roberto! Fuck! How did you get on the air 3 times anyway? Sabine, are you in on this? Im Ernst, arbeitet ihr zusammen? Warum sonst hättest du ihn 3 Mal on air lassen sollen?
Alonso, du bist paranoid.
Du hast recht. Ich bin nur paranoid. Uff. Ich mach mal einen Knopf auf. Ist das heiß hier oder ist nur mir heiß? Sabine, kannst du die Heizung runterregeln?
Ich komm mal gucken. Die Heizung ist aus. Ganz schön kühl hier drin.
Adios.
Was denn?
Mit mir stimmt was nicht. Ich kriege keine Luft. I think I might be dying.
Alonso!
Please, please no. Please no like this. Can this dream?
Alonso. Atmen. Weiter atmen. This is Sabine. Alonso's editor. Anybody, help us, please.
Hello? Alonso? It's me again. Are you still there? Focus. Focus on my voice. Listen to me. What's happening will not kill you.
I think I'm having a heart attack.
No, you're not. I know that for a fact. What you're experiencing is called a panic attack.
Wait. A panic attack?
Focus. Focus on your breath. Slow it down. Little by little. All right. You can calm down now. He can't harm you. It's only words. Only words.
How did you know?
Trust me. I'm a doctor. Thanks to you. Oh, I've always wanted to say this line in real life.
I haven't had an attack like this for ever in Germany.
You had them back in Mexico?
Yes, but I'd forgotten what it felt like.
For good reason. It's not something one likes to remember.
Oh, you just saved me there. I felt those walls closing in on me.
You weren't really dying. Besides, I'm just returning the favor.
Huh?
I guess you won't remember me.
Of course, you're the one who called before. Who fears she's got an empathy problem.
You don't remember me, do you? I called you once, but it was years ago. I was very close to throwing it all away back then. My studies, my life, everything. But you managed to talk me out of it.
I did, huh?
I'm still here, aren't I?
I'm glad to hear that I could help someone. Sometimes it feels like I am just saying things and nothing changes.
But you can change things.
You're just saying that to console me, because I'm kind of your patient right now.
I'm saying it because it's the truth. To me it is.
Ah, there it is again, this truth thing. It keeps following me around, this word.
Not a mere word.
No. No, something more sticky, like toothpaste. Once it's out, you can get it back in. And once you got it in your clothes, it's like toothpaste.
Speaking of the truth...
What is it with you people?
I hope you don't mind my asking.
What is it?
What was it that caused you to panic just then? If you don't mind my asking.
Well, it was... Roberto was my brother's name.
Yes, you said that.
I did? Well, Christian said it tonight. Telling the truth means telling all of it. I guess he has a point there. After all, I used to call this the most truthful radio show in all of English-speaking Germany. Maybe I should actually own up to this. So here it is. The truth about Alonso. If you're ready for it, that is.
Sure I am. It's good that you're ready to tell it.
Bist du dir sicher, Alonso? Weißt du, was du tust?
It's all right, Sabine. I know what I'm doing. I've had more than 20 years to think about this. So, Roberto was my big brother's name. We haven't talked in a very long time. Well, because he's dead. We buried him back in Mexico, his girlfriend Octavia and I. I never knew what became of her after I left. Funny thing, I'm calling him my big brother, but actually, I feel like I'm the older one. I guess because he never got to be old. He had cancer, and we had no money at the time. The doctors were doing what they could, but they got anxious too, and so we had to think of something. Octavia was an excellent craftswoman. We were young, and it was the dawn of the World Wide Web as a mass medium. So we put up a... let's call it what it was, a fraud scheme. We sold some knick-knack she made over a web shop, but without actually shipping it. But as you can imagine, we soon ran into trouble because, one, we always had to change shops as soon as someone started asking questions, and two, it didn't return profit at the same rate as Roberto's radiotherapy was consuming money. I mean, that's costly. Octavia had another job in an office cube at the HQ of this company. She updated a database, so she had 2 million sets of customers' personal data, and addresses and email contacts. From what I heard, she mainly drank coffee and listened to her co-workers' complaints. That was her job, and she was very good at this too. One night we were watching some call-in show with a fortune teller, and 5 minutes in, Octavia jumped to her feet, nearly knocking over the glass of wine, and exclaimed, "Exactly, It is exactly these kind of questions that I listen to every day at the office. And what do you say then? I asked. Oh, usually something just pops up in my mind, she said. She sat perfectly upright, legs tucked under her body, the way she used to do when she was preparing for one of her speeches. You just need to tell people something and mind their feelings a little bit. Just anything at all usually does the trick. As long as you make it sound plausible, most people prefer anything over uncertainty. Especially if they trust you, they don't focus on what's missing. They just fill in the blanks. And thus, she went on. We watched in silence, but her words kept working in my mind. The next day, Octavia came home with a burnt CD, and we began selling oracles on the internet, about $15 a piece. We got up to 10 requests per day, more towards the weekends. We were up and running in no time. I mean, the thing practically advertised itself by word of mouth. It was like a dream. We would get coffee and go through last night's emails over breakfast, feed each other lines. We were unbeatable. Just like my brother and I in our school days when we had a band. Seeing Octavia sit in front of the computer, focused, typing maniacally, I have to admit I could see what Roberto saw in her. I too was irresistibly attracted by her pragmatism. She would have done anything to save him. She was the kind of woman every man wants to have. So, business was going well, but we still didn't have enough money. What else could we do? So the idea came to me at some house party. Fellow students were taking one of our oracles apart. I'd really like to see the people behind this service, one of them said, not knowing he had one of them in his face, me. I left soon after that. Some bad weed had been circulating and I was afraid I might spill something, like, oh, I know who is behind that side, and etc. So people were interested in seeing us. I was prepared for a lengthy discussion when I told Octavia this, but instead of answering, Octavia jumped to her feet and started dragging together lamps from all four corners of her apartment. Trust me, she said. Just let Miss Octavia do her thing. Thus, we switched to oracles as video messages for a few dollars more. Octavia would paint her face golden, sit there in a sporty top, next to her an old fax machine was standing as a relay to the universe, and behind her a tapestry with indigenous patterns and a mummy bundle plush toy. I couldn't believe I knew this woman watching those videos. She seemed like a perfect stranger. It was perfectly strange. It was a perfect product. Orders went through the roof. We were making big money now, and we had to make a selection. Obscenities I deleted before Octavia could see them, until she said that she considered that misguided chivalry.
What a career.
But it got even better. Next, we launched my favorite offer. Make contact with your dead via the internet. Octavia would sit in front of a broken modem and receive messages from the spirit world from it. But at some point, things started taking a weird turn. We were out one night celebrating our 1,000th paying customer, a little tipsy, of course. And I remember this moment really well. Octavia patted my cheek and said, "You're a good brother." And I told her a weird thing I shouldn't have told her. From that party I mentioned before, you know. Some sick thing someone said. A few days later, I open up our website to check the visitors count, and I find a new offer. Click here and learn date and time of your death. A fellow student of mine helped us design and maintain the site in exchange for some generous hush money. Octavia made it sound as if you were okay with this, he said. And that night, I confronted her. But at the end of my furious monologue, she only pointed to the visitors' count. 1 million, it said. 1 million. It was done. So we went on.
You did not.
Yes, we did. People ask about their own date of death, but even more, about that of their partners, their parents, their grandparents, their kids even. We made it a requirement to provide an object with a strong spiritual connection to the person in question. In the P.O. box we rented, I found things obviously stolen. or once a professionally sealed test tube containing a saliva sample of someone's boss. I mean, it was crazy. Then one day, we got a request by a terminally ill patient. He had heard the hospital staff talk about this service, and it was bullshit, he thought. But he had some breath and dollars left, and he was just too curious who would be right, the oracle or the doctors. To meet our requirements, he could provide a sample of his tumor, leaving it for us to choose from which organ. With warm and hopeful regards, the email was signed, Roberto. We decided not to answer this email, and we never got a second request. Then one day, a local tabloid caught my eye. There was a big piece about a mysterious death. With his wife and kids gone for the weekend, a man died sitting at his desk, the article went. Cause of death, uncertain. A final note explaining he had consulted some service in the dark realms of the internet, which foretold his death for this exact day and hour. The police said there was nothing unlawful about such a service, but the newspaper would continue its investigation, of course. Especially because the man had been perfectly healthy and never suicidal, by all accounts.
That's the story your caller told tonight.
Yeah. It was going around at the time. This is bad. We gotta stop, I told Octavia after reading this. But she wasn't willing to. With the hospital bills still coming, and with the police officially stating that our service was legal. After all, we are doing this for Roberto, she said. She was right, of course, but this is a sick line of reasoning. I shouldn't have said that. Then she answered, you know, I don't love him any less than you do. And it got really bad. Brother love versus girlfriend love. I will spare you the details. I will say, though, that we ended up feeling really drained and having sex.
You must have seen it coming.
I guess. But I didn't give myself permission to think about it.
Was it this one time only?
It wasn't often. We saw another article soon, and this time it has our faces on it, taken from our college yearbook. They were calling us a couple. On the bottom of the page there was a tell-all interview. You know with whom? With my fellow student. And it was titled, They Pay Me to Shut Up, But Now They've Gone Too Far. I was losing my shit. I didn't dare to leave my apartment. I was sure everyone would recognize me on the street.
Mexico City is huge.
Yes, I know that. That's what Octavia told me too. Then she gave me a hard time about all the times she'd been recognized in the street and called names before.
You were in a really bad situation there.
Yes, and it had to end. It wouldn't be long until they'd get to my brother in the hospital anyway. So, I took sunglasses and my funkiest hoodie, like a rockstar going to rehab, and I went to Roberto's hospital. You know, people did actually recognize me from the article there. But he had a bright face on seeing me. Finally, someone with some normal vibes in this place, or something like that, he said. Everybody else was acting so hushed around him. Quite ironic. Hey, how are the future dead? I said. That was our way of dealing with his sickness. Life is a sickness unto death, anyway, he replied, quoting Kierkegaard. I asked him whether he had read the news lately, and good, he hadn't. He had a stack of books at his bedside. He found his time was too valuable to invest it in short-lived input. Then I told him all there was to tell. Well, I might have forgotten to mention that I had slept with his girlfriend. He died in blissful ignorance of that a few weeks later. And all our precious money couldn't save him. Octavia was just as devastated. During the wake, she asked me, speaking silently over the priest, if you don't break up with someone while they are still around, are you bound to them forever? I said, Roberto let go a long time ago. But did he? Maybe I was talking about myself there. That day we slept together for the last time. Next thing I remember is me emptying our business bank account and booking a flight to Europe. I roamed Spain, France, Czech Republic, the Netherlands, you name it. I worked in all kinds of jobs, and eventually I ended up at this here station. It was the founding year, so you could do anything, even a show like this one, where people just bring whatever they have to bring. What I liked best about it? No one was asking any questions, as long as you kept up the good work. So, Roberto, whatever your name is, I do hope you have been listening out there. I hope this eases the ringing in your ears. Now, you all know there is to know. Everything I didn't want to tell you all these years. Now you can judge me all you like.
I see why you find this hard to share.
I messed up, big time. Many things can be made up for. This I know from all those people sharing their lives and mistakes with me, but some you cannot make up for. Roberto is dead.
And you could do nothing about it.
Exactly.
You're a good person, Alonso. Remember what you told Christian tonight. Everybody deserves a second chance. And you've used yours. You should stop putting yourself on trial for what's happened.
But there are mistakes for which you can never make up.
Yes, you can. By repenting and doing more good than harm. From now on.
I guess I let him get to me too much. The name, the age, him being born in Mexico.
I know what you must have thought. You thought he might be your son. But he isn't. Can't be.
How do you know?
He is too old, way past 20. It doesn't add up with your story. Things like those do not happen. He's no more than some disturbed man that must have come across your story on the internet, connected the dots, and then tried to punish you, helping you make a big projection of your guilty conscience.
So, wait, is my story on the internet?
Well, I don't want to alarm you. Maybe you should Google yourself every once in a while. You'll find a recent article on Octavia. But maybe you do tomorrow, after a good night's sleep and a decent breakfast. It's a sad one.
Why? What's it say?
Will you listen to your doctor's advice?
Oh, okay, sure. Although I wonder, does it matter if he wasn't for real? Never mind. Let me have a look at the time. We've got some minutes left. About what you said earlier...
Ah, there's the Alonso I know. So, you do feel better?
Yeah, I think I'm back to normal again. A little shook up is all. So, about your problem?
It's fine, Alonso. I think I solved it myself in the meantime.
Oh, how so?
Can't you guess?
I'm at a loss.
You had a problem there. You didn't know it. But I pointed it out to you. Could a psychopath do that? Yes, of course. But would they do it with no strings attached?
You're right. I never doubted you.
Thank you, Alonso. And I'm not mad at you for your paranoia earlier. Stick to your way, Alonso. Don't lose it.
I'll try not to. It's just that sometimes... just saying something does not make it so. And yet, a solitary idea can wreck everything.
You'll be fine. I am sure.
Laura?
Yes?
Your name is Laura, isn't it?
Yes. Wow. You remembered.
Thank you, heartily. Looks like crisis averted. My editor Sabine will try to call you one more time, Roberto, on both numbers that we know of. Hopefully you'll pick up. Well, my friends, this most unusual radio hour is coming to an end. I hope you're still my friends after what you've learned. Like Laura, I like to believe that people can change. This is what this show is about, after all. Please don't go too hard on me, or anyone for that matter. And please, my dear journalist friends, if you've been listening, don't turn this into ugly headlines. On second thought, do what you must. I hope you've learned something from my mistakes. I'm not sure I have, though. As to the man calling himself Roberto, we haven't been able to reach you. I sure hope your ringing will get better. It would be a great relief if you called us just one last time. You know the number. We leave the lines open after the show this night. Unless, of course, you never had a ringing at all. But in any case, we'd like to make sure you're all right. Anyway, I want to say thank you. Thank you for shaking me up and giving me the hardest time ever on this show. Now, it is out there. And it's how they say, the truth is like toothpaste. You cannot take it back. Please, watch yourselves out there, my dear listeners. This is Alonso saying goodbye for now. This was Night Studio, and you better believe it to be the most truthful show in all of English-speaking Germany. Hoping to talk to you all next week, safe and sound. Stay tuned, and above all, stay true.
This place feels so unfamiliar, yet I know it well. I think I used to belong here, but the only way I can tell is that I miss you. Sweet Spanish doll.
Sweet Spanish, sweet Spanish doll.
I went down to the alleyway,
Sierra la Bonita.
I found that you were
gone. Si nunca te fue.
You left no word, no message. I still don't.
Story will unfold. You know I always
A Truth of Its Own, Phonoplay by Alberto Cortez Navarrete, Glauco Nayue and Fabian May. Cast: Alonso, Alberto Cortez Navarrete. Roberto, Gabriel Cortez Navarrete. Editor Sabine, Glauco Nayue. News Speaker, Fabian May. Laura, Avi Gdansk. Dr. Adam Hausner, Georgi Belaschow. Christian, Magnus Anschütz. Soundtrack, Georgi Belaschow. Produktion und Regie, Fabian May. That's where the real story is.